Good day. This is Sheila Winger with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. We'll begin today's readings with an article from the Commercial News called Committee Acts on Tax Levy Plan. The Danville City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday night voted 3-2 in favor of the tax levy option that includes a 10% property tax increase and tiered public safety pension fee. The tiered fee means residents with a lower net equalized assessed valuation on their home would pay more in a pension fee, up to $330 a year. Residents who live in a house with a higher net EAV would pay the current fee, $96 a year. Businesses with more than 5,000 square feet would pay a tiered fee of $600 to $2,400. Aldermen favoring this option were Ward 3 Alderwoman Sherry Pickering, Ward 5 Alderman Mike Purr, and Ward 6 Alderman John Cooper. Those against it were Ward 4 Alderman Mike O'Kane and Ward 2 Alderman Rick Strebing. Ward 1 Alderman Ricky Williams Jr. was ill, and Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall left the meeting early. The other two tax levy options, with $200 or $220 in flat pension fees for residents, did not get any alderman votes for support. The full City Council will take final action on the tax levy to address police and fire pension debt next week. Resident Ed Strahl said he's against any tax increase. "We need people to come down here and give their personal opinion about what needs to be done," Strahl said. He asked the aldermen to take a long look at what they are doing. O'Kane also again said about a higher public safety pension fee, "There will be way too many people who can't afford it. I think it's way too much for low-income people." Having churches pay a $2,400 fee also will hurt the smaller churches that see 30 to 40 people, O'Kane said, adding that these people also pay the fee on their residences. Also Tuesday, the committee had a split 3-3 vote to submit an Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program grant application for about $2 million to construct sidewalks, add bicycle lanes, and improve lighting along Denmark Road, coinciding with the sanitary improvements there and on Old Ottawa Road. City plans also include installing sidewalks on Old Ottawa from Denmark to Rue Bienville and on Winter Avenue from Logan to Gilbert. Denmark Road residents Dave Kronk and Dick and Martha Reed voiced concerns and opposition against the pathway work. Kronk said taking away parts of property, landscaping, and parking will be a hardship on residents along there. "I don't really understand why we need a bike lane there," Kronk said. He said there are few bikes now, and the steep hill is hard to ride a bike on. He believes it would have little use. Dick Reed said the pathway will add to the traffic and likely increase safety issues, especially if the area is slick in the winter. Pickering said she thinks they need to listen to the residents. "We're in a budget crisis," she said, adding that the city is looking to increase property taxes, the public safety pension fee, and now take $600,000 in matching funds for the grant from motor fuel tax funding when the funding can go to something else. Our next article is from the News Gazette and is called Danville Redevelopment, City to Spend $320,000 to Keep Out Liquor Store. In the next 60 days, the City of Danville will shell out more than $320,000 for three properties at one of the city's busiest intersections in hope of spurring development there. Most likely, a liquor store will not be in the mix. The possible relocation of an existing liquor store near the corner of Fairchild and Vermilion Streets in the heart of the city and near Danville High School is what led the city to step in to make these purchases. "That is a fantastic corner for future development, and we are currently working with an interested developer in creating a pre-development agreement," said Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower, who would not disclose the identity of the developer or what kind of project is being considered at the northwest corner of Fairchild and Vermilion. By traffic counts, it's one of the five busiest intersections in Danville, according to Chris Milliken, the city's planning and urban services manager. It's also where a former speed lube has sat vacant for several years on a small lot. Adjacent to it is an even smaller grassy lot, and next to it is the former Gulick's Ileana Medical Supply, which closed last summer and is now vacant. "The city has been very interested in connecting those three properties," Eisenhower said. We recognize that any one of the properties on its own would be difficult for development, particularly the types of development we are interested in seeing on that corner. But now we're able to talk about a much larger development that we think could greatly benefit the community as a whole, and particularly that area, Eisenhower said. 1 year ago, longtime Danville businessman Steve Gulick was poised to sell his property only near that busy intersection. The owners of Stroud's Liquor in South Danville were interested in moving their business to Gulick's space at 912 to 914 North Vermilion. But controversy erupted when the issue went before the city's Zoning and Planning Commission. A decades-old ordinance forced Gulick to seek, prior to sale, a zoning change that would ensure the parking lot and building were zoned the same. Neighbors were informed of the proposed zoning change, with the notices stating that the intended new business would be a liquor store. Many of those neighbors, people connected with Danville High School and business owners, objected to a liquor store opening there. Another liquor store is already within 2 blocks of the high school, and the nearby CVS store sells alcohol as well. Jerry Hambly, who owns Royal Donut across Vermilion Street, said this week that he still has mixed feelings about the issue. He remains pro-business, acknowledges the location is a main corridor to the north shopping area, and believes the less government involvement the better. But he also thinks a liquor store at that location would be a bad fit, especially with a school nearby. Mark and Alyssa Horner live in an older home they are renovating in the same block as the three properties and spoke out against a liquor store at last year's zoning meeting. They expressed relief that development appears to be going in a new direction. "We're hoping there will be development more promotional to downtown Danville," Mark Horner said. Our next article, also in the News Gazette, is entitled Vermilion County Crime, One in Hospital, One in Jail After Stabbing at Bar. One man was hospitalized and another was taken to jail following a stabbing at a Vermilion County sports bar late Tuesday morning. Captain Mike Hartshorn of the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office said the stabbing occurred about 11:25 a.m. at Scoreboard's Sports Bar and Grill at 2526 Georgetown Road in unincorporated Hegler, between Tilton and Westville. Hartshorn said the male victim was transported to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. His condition wasn't available Tuesday. Hartshorn said a suspect was arrested and taken into custody. He declined to identify the man, but said he could appear at his initial court hearing this afternoon. Hartshorn also declined to say whether authorities know what led to the stabbing. "We're just in the beginning stages of our investigation now," he said. And another article here from the Catlin Village Board, dispute over loose dogs discussed. Catlin Village Board members heard about an ongoing dispute about loose dogs in one Catlin neighborhood. A resident complained of a neighbor's 3 dogs continually coming into his yard and up onto his deck. Furthermore, the resident inquired if a citation had been issued and there were photos of the dogs in his yard, why did he have to miss work to testify in court about the matter? Mayor Butch Schmink said he would meet with Police Chief Tad Badeau and other village board members to determine whether the village's ordinances need to be changed or what the state animal control regulations are concerning the matter. Schmink said the village has a leash law that requires that dogs, when outside, either be on a leash or in a fenced-in yard. Our next article here from the Danville Police, suspects sought in shooting. Danville police are still investigating a weekend shooting that left a 19-year-old man injured. Commander Josh Webb said officers responded to a shooting in the unit block of Kentucky Street at 10:48 p.m. Saturday. When they arrived, they found the 19-year-old with a wound in his upper arm. The victim reported he was in his vehicle at that same location when 2 males began shooting at him. He said his vehicle was shot several times and he was struck once in the arm. The victim was taken by medical personnel to an area hospital where he was treated for a non-life-threatening wound and then released. The description of the suspects was incomplete. They were last seen running from the area heading in an unknown direction. Anyone with any information is asked to call police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477. Now it's time to read our high school confidential reports in the News Gazette. From Blue Ridge High School, we have this from Caitlin Stevens. Marching band members went to Bands of America in Indianapolis. Also on Friday, Schneider Elementary students celebrated Veterans Day during an assembly where they sang songs as Caitlin Stevens performed taps on the trumpet. The high school celebrated by listening to Speaker Joe Bateman, who served in the Air Force. From Georgetown Ridge Farm High School, student Willow Ray wrote, "At the annual Veterans Day ceremony, senior class president Peyton Baker welcomed everyone, the band and chorus performed, and local veteran Dave Hughes gave a moving speech. Zach Dawson and Willow Ray spoke about the POW MIA table, and Clayton Christian spoke of the origin of taps." From Hoopston area, students Ariel Reeves and Daniel Bass wrote, "The high school and Hoopston American Legion presented the annual Veterans Day Assembly on Saturday. The Hoopston American Legion and Veterans of Foreign Wars Color Guard, the high school band and chorus, and the community children's choir performed. Meet the Corn Jerkers kicked off the winter sports season as three teams, boys and girls basketball, wrestling, were introduced." From Oakwood High School, student Kelsey Blackford wrote, "At Friday's Veterans Day Assembly, staff member John Odell, a veteran, put together a presentation for the student body. After the national anthem, senior Austin Otto spoke of what Veterans Day means to him. Four FFA members demonstrated the folding of the flag as Odell explained what each fold meant. The assembly finished with the playing of taps by band director Weston Braybeck." From Salt Fork High School, student Cade Bennett wrote, "National Honor Society's Veterans Day Assembly on Friday was open to the Salt Fork community and veterans. It featured posters made by Salt Fork North Elementary students, a performance by the chorus, and speeches by veterans and students. In a special presentation, the only surviving World War II veteran in the Salt Fork community, Jack Carey of Catlin, was honored by National Honor Society President Cameron Hinkle." Back in the commercial news, we have an article called "Firefighters Association Elects Hogg as President." Brian Hogg was elected to serve as Danville Firefighters Association's next president, according to a press release. This comes after Captain Jerry Sparks decided not to seek re-election after serving two terms. Presidential terms are for 2 years. Hogg said his duties as president will include overseeing the general welfare of the union and speaking to the city on behalf of the union. Hogg is a veteran firefighter who joined the Danville Fire Department in 2006. He has previously served as trustee, shift steward, good and welfare committee member, and secretary treasurer. He graduated from Danville High School in 1992 and from Danville Area Community College in 1994. "I am very honored to have been elected to this new position," Hogg said in the release. "I look forward to working with our members as well as city officials." He is scheduled to take the oath of office at the DFD Association's meeting today. Lester Potts Jr. also is scheduled to take oath as vice president and Eric High as sergeant at arms. Our next piece from the commercial news is called "DAC Student Projects Help Community." Danville Area Community College trustees Thursday will hear about a community learning service project that involves some of the college's biology students. Microbiology instructor Wendy Brown said her Biology 100 life science students will report to the trustees about their community learning service project. "All students enrolled in my Biology 100 life science course are required to do a group community service project," Brown said. "They can choose their projects. Some of the activities include collecting and surveying freshwater mussels from local waterways, caring for bees at DAC's sustainability farm, tagging and monitoring monarch butterflies, building boxes and monitoring bluebirds, helping with the reptile roadshow, cleaning up trash with Keep Vermilion County Beautiful, and working with the Kickapoo State Park crew to collect and clean prairie seeds to help with prairie restoration. Each project focuses on doing something helpful for our community while learning and then teaching others about biological topics," Brown said. Also on Thursday, the board will recognize the men's and women's cross-country teams, hear a report on health information technology, hear a report on the Illinois Community College Trustees Association's seminar and Board of Representatives meeting held November 10th through 11th. Consider the low bid of $52,886 from Zenith Insurance of Springfield for workers' compensation insurance coverage from January 1st to December 31st, 2018. Zenith's bid reflects a 31% reduction in premium. The board will consider approving $541.54 in travel expenses for Trustee Greg Wolf to attend the Association of Community College Trustees Leadership Congress, September 25th through 28th in Las Vegas. Consider granting tenure for rhetoric instructor Stephanie Davis and physical science instructor Mark Hardwidge. This is a milestone for them, NACO said. It's part of an academic tradition. Gifting flowers to tenure recipients dates back to the early days of academia in Bologna, Italy, according to NACO. We usually bestow flowers, but Professor Hardwidge asked for a cactus, NACO said, adding that he is working on Hardwidge's request with DAC's Horticulture Department. And our next article here from the front page of the Commercial News is called Brown to Receive Educator Award. Danville Area Community College's Wendy Brown never thought she wanted to be an educator. I never wanted to go into education because my mom was an educator. I wanted to do something else, she said. But when I stood before a class for the first time as a student teacher, I knew this was what I wanted to do. Brown, a microbiology and biological science instructor, started teaching at DAC 15 years ago and has received rave reviews from her students, according to Dave Keatsman, Executive Vice President of Instruction and Student Services. I had the good fortune to sit on the selection committee that hired her, Keatsman said, calling her a very dynamic instructor. She's innovative, she keeps her students engaged, and she's always looking for ways to get her students out in the community, he said. Her students simply rave about what a wonderful instructor she is. She and others like her make DAC a place for student success and student learning, Keatsman added. On Friday, Brown will be recognized in Springfield by the Illinois Community College Faculty Association with a Leo Welch Educator of the Year Award. The award is presented on an annual basis to one Illinois Community College faculty member. Award recipients are nominated by a peer. Fellow instructor Ryan Wyckoff, who teaches the speech component of Brown's Community Learning Service Projects, nominated her for the honor. President Stephen NACO said Brown's award is a testimony of the work she does. It's a well-deserved recognition in the state. NACO said he's taken notice of Brown and other DAC faculty members and their commitment to the students. It's not a job for them. It's more of a calling, he said. Brown said she learned about the award nearly 2 weeks ago when she was running around buying last-minute items for the family science night. It was perfect timing because I was on my second trip to Walmart and thinking to myself, why the heck do I do all of this, she said. Then I saw the email about the award. It's a nice reward to get after all the work that goes into Family Science Night. The award isn't the first for Brown, who received the Illinois Community College Trustees Association's Outstanding Full-Time Faculty Member Award in 2010. In addition to the Family Science Night, Brown also was involved with DAC Sustainability Farm, Community Learning Service Projects, College for Kids, and DAC's Reptile Roadshow. She also serves on the Higher Learning Commission Accreditation Committee and has a leadership role in the Achieving the Dream initiative on DAC's campus. I'm always doing presentations at conferences and in the community, she said. Next semester, Brown will start taking nursing classes at DAC, not only to become a nurse, but to also better understand how DAC's curriculum is aligned to meet the needs of its nursing students. I have pre-pharmacy students, pre-nursing students, and pre-dentistry students that I teach, and I want to better understand what my allied health students need to know, she said. Eventually, I would like to do mission work over the summer as a traveling nurse. As for receiving the award, Brown said she is proud to represent DAC. The students are getting an amazing education at DAC, and I want to make sure DAC is represented in the best light possible, she said. I'm very appreciative to be nominated and to be selected, she said. I love what I do. I can't imagine doing anything else. It's time now to read our area obituaries, and we'll begin with those in the News Gazette. Richard Murray, 85, of Danville, died at 12:45 p.m. Saturday, November 11th, in Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare Systems in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Pape Family Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. Cadence Chanel Nicholas, infant daughter of Danielle Frazier and Michael Nicholas, passed away Saturday, November 11th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, November 17th at Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac. Burial will follow the service in Stern Cemetery in Fithian. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the family. We'll turn now to the commercial news for additional obituaries. Mary E. Cates Palika, 73, of rural Attica, died at 2:32 p.m. Saturday, November 11th at St. Vincent Williamsport Hospital. She was born in Danville, Illinois, the daughter of Harold Leon and Angela Makowitz Cates. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday, November 17th, at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, with Father Samuel Futrell officiating. Visitation will be from noon until the time of service at 2 p.m. Private burial will take place in Resurrection Cemetery, Danville, Illinois. Memorials requested to the Alzheimer's Association. On November 11th, John Clayton Hitch of Danville passed away. A Mass Christian burial will be at 11 a.m. today at St. Mary's Catholic Church at 231 North State Street in Westville, with Father Timothy Sopp officiating. Visitation took place last night with a rosary service. He will be laid to rest in Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Jean Lister went home to be with the Lord at 12:05 a.m. November 13th. She was a patient at Presence Hospital in Danville. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, November 17th at Sunset Cemetery in Danville, with Pastor Patty Wise officiating. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made out to Batestown United Methodist Church or American Cancer Society. Kyle D. Jones, 33, of Danville, passed away peacefully, surrounded by family, on November 12th at Danville Care Center from complications of gastroparesis. Cremation rites will be accorded and private services will follow. Catherine Miller, 70, of Danville, passed away at 11:08 a.m. Friday, November 10th at Norton Brownsboro Hospital of Louisville, Kentucky. A celebration of Catherine's life will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 16th at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor Andrew Martin officiating. Visitation will be this evening from 5 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Spring Hill Cemetery, Danville. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in her name to the donor's choice of charity. John G. Fletcher, 78, of Georgetown, passed away at 10:26 a.m. Thursday, November 9th at his home. Funeral service will take place at noon Friday at Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Georgetown. Following cremation, burial will be in Georgetown Cemetery. Visitation is from 10 a.m. until service time Friday at the church. Memorials to Cumberland Presbyterian Church in his memory. The Robeson Chapel in Catlin is handling service details. Melissa Dawn Whitehair, 44, of Danville, passed away on November 9th. Her funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, November 16th, at First Presbyterian Church at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday at First Presbyterian Church. Next, we'll share some happier news in the community brief section of the commercial news. In Danville, the Comeback Committee with founder Clyde Butler is looking for some help in turkey donations. The committee is looking for turkeys to be donated to give to needy families. If you are interested, you may contact Mr. Butler at 497-6565. Jewel White Post 728 Veterans of Foreign Wars will serve an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet from 7 to 9:30 a.m. Saturday. Price will be $6. Carryouts will be available. The Catlin Public Library's used book sale is underway through November 22nd. hardbacks and paperbacks, nonfiction and fiction, DVDs, and children's books can be purchased. The cost of the books is a donation supporting our children's programs. The library at 101 Maple Leaf Drive is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Call 427-2550 if you need more information. In Westville, Santa's Anonymous has helped families for the past 40 years in the Westville School District. This year, the organization has received requests from more than 50 families, which include more than 110 children. New or used toys are accepted for both boys and girls, ranging in age of newborn through age 18. Stuffed animals are not accepted. The items can be dropped off at Toy Barrel locations throughout the village beginning November 27th through December 16th. Cash donations also are accepted. For more information, you can visit www.westvillesanta.com. Next, we have an article from the Commercial News called New Theater Troupe to Perform. A new theater group plans to combine the excitement of murder mystery with comedy. Dead Horse Murder Mystery Troupe is a spin-off of another local theater group, Dark Horse Theater Company. The troupe will perform Murder at the Pie Auction, a murder mystery dinner at the Danville Boat Club, this weekend. Tickets are $35, including dinner. There will also be a cash bar and a pie auction, the proceeds of which will go to the boat club. Director Breeley Airford said the show has a campy attitude to it. "The puns will make you groan, but my cast delivers everything amazing," Arford said. "I got really lucky with the cast I have." The plot takes place in the tiny town of Minute, Alaska, at a pie contest. After the judge goes missing, craziness ensues. "The mystery of the show is why they're missing and who did it," Arford said. Barb Whaling, vice president of Dark Horse Theater Company, is acting in Murder at the Pie Auction, which will be her first murder mystery performance. "It's a scripted show, but there's also improv-based acting," Whaling said. "We interact with the audience, which makes it different from a standard scripted play." The show runs about 1 hour, and the dinner menu includes Swiss steak or chicken and a salad bar. Our final article is from VermilionCountyFirst.com and is called New Court Management System to Make History. Vermilion Circuit Clerk Dennis Gardner says history is being made as the county prepares to install a new case management system at the courthouse. The county board last night approved spending $950,000 for the system. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey noted that currently offices often duplicate data entered in court cases because none of the computer systems in those offices talk to each other. But Lacey adds the new system is going to be amazing. She added there are hundreds of cases that go through the court system every day. Circuit Clerk Dennis Gardner is allowing more than $500,000 that is built up in some fund balances in his office to go toward funding the new system, and the county will spread the rest of the cost over a 5-year loan. Also last night, the county board awarded a bid for internet service at the federal courthouse and other county buildings. The federal courthouse building is where offices will be relocating from the Vermilion County Courthouse Annex. This has been Sheila Lammers with the Vermilion County News, dated Wednesday, November 15th, 2017.
For wealthy Americans and press GOP leaders to add a contentious health care change to the already complex mix. His latest tweet injected a dose of uncertainty into the process as the Republicans try to deliver on his top legislative priority. He commended GOP leaders for getting the tax legislation closer to passage in recent weeks, and then said, "Cut top rate to 35% with all of the rest going to the middle income cuts. That puts him at odds with the House legislation that leaves the top rate at 39.6% and the Senate bill as written with the top rate at 38.5%. Trump also said, "Now how about ending the unfair and highly unpopular individual mandate in Obamacare and reducing taxes even further? Overall, the legislation would deeply cut corporate taxes, double the standard deduction used by most Americans, and limit or repeal completely the federal deduction for state and local property income and sales taxes. It carries high political stakes for Trump and Republican leaders in Congress, who view passage of tax cuts as critical to the GOP preserving its majorities at the polls next year." And this has been Mary Hodson reading to you from the Danville Commercial News. Thank you.